Good morning. Oh, there we go. Noah's been off for a couple of weeks, and so we're trying to get him back into the swing of things. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that Michelle was really nice to you and wasn't going to be rude, because I'm not going to be nice this morning. Why don't you open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 as we continue our study through the first letter, the first epistle of St. Peter. Peter, I named this message, Stay in Your Lane. Why don't you stand? We're going to read this together. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. That's not fear of your husband, that's awe of the Lord. Do not let your adornment be outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible or imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Lord, let us hear your word, and I pray that all of our hearts would be open, submissive, Lord, to your order, the way you have ordered all things. And we just pray that you would bless this time, Lord, that you would strengthen our marriages, you would strengthen the church to stand upon your truth in these days where there is so much error and so many are challenging the surety of your word, what it says and what it means. And so I pray, Lord, that you would bless this time. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Be seated. Now, before we get started, those of you who are here and are not married, you don't get off the hook this morning. Because the marriages, the husbands and wives here, need your prayers, especially in this day and age. We covet your prayers, because there has been an attack on the family since Adam and Eve. And as we've been going through this letter from Peter, we're told, and we've been going through, we're to be the best citizens, that we're to be in submission to civil governance when they are not crossing God's, you know, or causing us to step out of line with God's word, or forcing us into doing things that we know go against our faith and what we believe to be true. We're to be the best employees, in submission to our employers and the authorities in the workplace. And we often, as we're going through this, I'm sure that I'm not the only one, as in preparing, would say, why? Peter tells us that Jesus was in submission to the Father as our example. It is because Jesus submits to the Father's will that we have redemption, that we have forgiveness of sin. And that is what drew us to Jesus, isn't it? And that should be evidence in our relationship to others, submission to the will of God and His Word. In creation, God established order out of chaos. He has done the same for those who are born again of imperishable seed of His Word that He has given us. When you are saved, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and the chaos which once ruled you, your life and you is now put in order. From sin and enmity with God to citizens of heaven, a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, His own special and peculiar people, His children and fellow heirs. You are to exemplify an orderly life during your pilgrimage here in this temporal dwelling and your time here. Now Peter turns his attention to the home, specifically the husband-wife relationship. The husband-wife relationship is defined by God in creation, not by the confusion of man today. And we're going to see that the example, even of those who had come before Peter and were examples to be lived out, we're to follow the examples of those before us. This is not a culture thing. This is a creation thing that is being discussed here. So much of the truths of the Word of God are being basically pushed off to the side in favor of cultural favorites and what they believe to be norms. Redefinition of what God says is truth. We were talking about it on Wednesday night, that they're now, you know, the way that they express in its gender, look, there's two sexes. There is the male and there is the female. And that is determined by God in creation. Before He even formed you, He formed me. He determined whether we would be a male or a female, period. Now they are trying to convince, and they're taking it to the schools, that gender is assigned by your parents at birth. And now you know how things are muddied up. And so as we discuss the role of the wife and the role of the husband, we are going to do it in a biblical worldview, a man and a woman. Peter turns his attention to the home, specifically that husband-wife relationship. Christian, you are to be the best husband or the best wife in your relationship. Reminder, Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen, what we are going to look at this morning is not Peter's opinion, nor is it to be discarded or challenged by today's cultural relevance. It is ordered in creation itself. When God created Adam, God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." Everything leading up to that moment was good. On the first day, God created, it was good. On the second day, God created, it was good, it was good, it was good. And then He created man, and He looked down at man and went, uh-oh. It's not good for this one to be alone. And it says, He made Adam a helper. And we've talked about this, and every one of us that have been in the church for a while understand helpmate, a helper, because guys, those of us that are honest with ourselves realize we need help. And God realized it before any of us did. But it's never used in the Old Testament to suggest a servant type of helper. A lot of the pushback on what the Bible has to say about the wife's role and the husband role comes with this misunderstanding of what the helper means and what submission means truly. One who it actually means a rescuer, a correspondent. One who responds to the needs of another. God did not take bone from the skull or from the foot. Woman is not above or below man. God took a rib from the side of man, one to come alongside man in his helplessness. Guys, God brought you a wife because he knew you needed help. Some of us need to be rescued from ourselves. I can attest to that. There is no doubt why God brought Beth into my life. Now, Beth may be questioning why God brought her into my life. But there's no doubt that God knew exactly what I needed. Men and women are partners in stewardship of God's creation and an example of order in creation. From not good, again, back to good. That was God's process and purpose in creating woman. Marriage is the institution God intends to sustain order in society, mankind, society, culture. It is all, marriage is the foundation of all those things and is to be the influencer of all those things. Sadly, it's not. In fact, it's still under attack and will be until Christ returns. And the husband-wife relationship, after one's relationship with Jesus Christ, the husband-wife relationship is the highest relationship you will ever enter into or experience in this life. Wife is a role in God's ordered creation. Husband is a role in God's ordered creation, each having obvious and evident strengths and weaknesses. And when we each stay in our lane according to God-ordained roles and according to God's will, it is good. Marriage, it's when we stop or when we step outside of what God intended for husbands and wives, that order in the marriage relationship can turn to chaos. Notice that as Christians, all of our relationships to civil authority, the workplace, as husbands and wives, these relationships with each other are all brought to order through what? Through submission. Not through assumption, where we assume roles and authorities that are not given to us. Submission to God and His authority affects our relations in every aspect of our life. That being said, marriage is less about finding the right partner as it is being the right partner or spouse. I hear it so often. I think I married the wrong person. No, the other person has a right to say they probably did, if that's the way that you're thinking about it. When we should be changing our heart and how we relate within that marriage, asking God to change our heart and change who we are so that we are the right partner for our husband or our wife. Now, I know because of the topic in text this morning, there are already walls being built up, excuses being prepared, fingers being pointed, elbows being made ready to nudge the person next to them, ears in tune to what God has to say to your spouse. But when it's speaking to you, are you ready to receive it? And it's inevitable that when submission, roles, marriage, when these come up, that our minds are already preparing excuses or whatever it might be. The, yeah, but what if? Or what happens if? It's not going to address all the what ifs. It is very specific in what marriage is meant to be, what God has meant marriage to be, what wives are to be in the marriage, and what husbands are to be in the marriage. The what ifs are individual instances that can be addressed outside of the context of us gathering together and hearing what the Word of God has to say. But we all know it. Yeah, but what if roles in today's culture clash? They're different. What if my wife isn't submitting to me? I know some of you guys think that, right? Or what if my husband isn't fulfilling me? What happens if the spouses got married as unbelievers and then got saved? What are they supposed to do? Can they leave their husband, their marriage? What happens if I married the wrong person? I'm going to ask right now that we submit to what God desires for order in the home. Biblically defined roles for husbands and for wives. Because none of this matters this morning, Christian, if you will not first submit to what the Lord says is right for the marriage. And the marriage relationship and what the Holy Spirit has for you this morning. Maybe you need to take a moment and readjust your thinking this morning. Because I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to soften it up. In verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, wives, God defines what a wife is. Wives, that is a genetic woman, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Now, I know that some of you are sitting there going, thinking, why do we get 6 verses and he only gets 1? Well, it's probably because, ladies, you can handle more instruction than us. Likewise, he says, just as we are to submit to governing authorities and employment authorities, so also wives are to submit to their own husbands. Peter had to address those women in the church who had come to faith while they were married. Many of them were probably struggling. What do I do now? You see, in that culture at that time, it was not acceptable for a woman to practice a religion that was separate from her husband's religion. And certainly not openly. And so these women were starting to wonder, what do I do? Do I leave my marriage? Or now that I know the truth, you know, and I know the truth about Jesus Christ, does that give me an authority that I didn't have before over my husband? What was a wife to do who had been converted to Christianity while in marriage? Peter says she is to be submissive to her own husband. Now, in that culture, women were under all men. And to a certain extent, they were to be in submission to all men, anybody. Notice Peter says, in submission to your own husband. There was actually a freeing of womanhood in that culture of that day as they became followers of Jesus Christ. She was no longer under the cultural expectations to submit to all men, just to her own husband. Biblical submission is a picture of faith in the lordship of Jesus Christ. Christ as our example. All of creation submits to Christ. His enemies will submit to him. Christ submitted to the will of the Father. We are to submit to earthly authorities. That's in Romans, in Titus and Peter. Christians are to submit to church leaders, 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter. Wives, submit to your husbands, Ephesians, Colossians, Titus, 1 Peter. The church is to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Men and women are to submit to the will of God. There is never a reversal of these relations when it comes to submission. Nowhere in Scripture are you going to find husbands submit to your wives. Christ is going to submit to the church. It just isn't the way it is. It's not the order of things that God has made in creation. Submission is wrongly, is sorely misunderstood. And sadly, partly because of the way that the church has presented it. Certainly because some men who profess to be Christians misuse it and abuse it in a certain way. Woman, submit. You won't find that authority given to any one of you in anywhere in Scripture, guys. Submission is a voluntary response to a commandment of God. Wives, your obedience is to Christ's command, not your husband's. Guys, it's not your place to demand your wife's obedience to submit to you. It is her voluntary response to her Lord. And if she is not submitted, she's not disobeying you, she's disobeying Him, the Lord. Pray for her. Lording over her or demanding she walk in obedience to you is not going to help the situation. And those of you that have tried it know exactly what I'm talking about. Wives, your submission is not based on your husband fulfilling your obligation to love you or his obligation to love you unconditionally. It's your response to God's love and God's grace because He's asked it of you. It's through your obedience to the Lord that the Holy Spirit will be able to, and His being at work in you, that God is going to use to change the heart of your husband. Marriage is to be a picture of the relationship of the church, the bride and the bride and Christ the groom. Wives, your role is a picture of the church and its submission to Jesus Christ. Notice, this is addressing believing wives and unbelieving husbands. Unbelieving husbands that do not obey the word of God will see you submitting according to the word. Your actions will speak louder than words because he will see Christ in you. God wants you to win your husband to believe in his son. Verse 2, it says, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. The New King James says that when they behold your chaste conversation. And we've talked about it, that actions can speak louder than words, that conversation can be spoken in how we live more loudly than what comes out of our mouths. And it's talking about chaste conversation, lovely and innocent and pure. And it goes along with living in awe of God, actually living a life of faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to say it. Nagging him will not accomplish God's desired result. Just saying. Some of you get mad. Don't get mad at me. Wives, I'll let you in on a secret. Nagging, berating, yelling, in most cases is the very reason he's not doing what you want him to do. We dig in. Because as my son told me, and I can't remember how old he was, Beth, you remember? You're not the boss of me. Yet, there's nothing more convicting personally, I'll talk from my own personal, than when I'm being a jerk and Beth responds with acts of kindness and love. So he says, do not let your adornment be merely outward. Arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible or imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says this, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. And it's kind of interesting that Peter would insert this here. You see, men are very visual. But we're not one to Christ the same way we were one to marriage. At least in the terms of the flesh. It's not permitting women to dress and look nice. It's fine. For those in a home where the husband did not believe and may have even been demonstrative against his wife's faith, Peter is saying it is the beauty of a life that has been changed by grace that will win his heart. Well, if I just make myself beautiful, you know, then he will have a change of heart. There's a point that will not work. You understand that, ladies? Outwardly. But there's a beauty that Peter says does not fade. In fact, it becomes more and more beautiful the longer you walk with the Lord. A gentle and quiet spirit. That is counterculture. From the culture we live in, I am woman, hear me roar. I don't even know what it is now. That was back probably when I was in high school. Who was that? I can't even remember. And remember, Christian submission begins with Jesus and is then lived out in the relationship with your husband, wives. It begins with Jesus. For this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Now, we all know Abraham wasn't perfect. He listened to the Lord at times, but then he went off and he lied to the leaders because he was afraid of them. He listened to Sarah in error. Remember, Sarah came and said, look, we're never having kids. They're pushing 100 years old. Her womb's dead. Sleep with my servant. And so he did. And they had a child. But it was not according to God's plan. Ultimately, God believed Abraham. And Sarah believed God. And it said that they got together and they ended up having a son, Isaac. I believe he was 100 and she was 90. She still submitted to Abraham, and they had the son. Ladies, when your husband does good, and you're walking close with the Lord, guess what? You get the assist. God acknowledges your good work. But when he does bad, it's on him. And it's at that point that he needs your assist for you to come alongside as a helper and a rescuer. For you to be there to help him. Not participate in his error, but to lead him away from it. And every guy here that's married should be saying, amen. Okay. Verse 7, husbands. This is you get one. You get one. But here, it's the most difficult one. Likewise, dwell with them with understanding. I'm not going to say much about this one because I still haven't figured it out. Beth and I were just talking. I think it was about a week and a half ago. She said something. I said, honey, I still haven't figured you out. I don't know. I'm doing my best. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Don't get all freaked out because, we are equal and equality and everything. It's talking about, and let's just be real. It's obvious women, on the average, on the high average, are weaker physically than, that's what it's talking about. There are definite weaknesses and strengths amongst men and women. That's all it's saying. Now, there's something, that our society should see in that when men who think that they're women are, think that they're accomplishing something by beating women in athletics and stuff like that. It says it right there. But I digress. Sorry. and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. We have less instruction, but this with understanding. I don't think it's necessarily saying understanding them. I believe what Peter is saying is this, guys, understand the proper roles and order for husbands and wife. They are co-equals in eternal matters. She's not a slave under your authority. She is a daughter under the authority of her father, who has been commanded to walk in the proper role according to the order of creation. Do you understand that? And if she's not, you pray for her. That's between her and her Lord. Hey, man, if I had a nickel for every time I heard a wife isn't submitting to her, well, I wouldn't be a millionaire, but I hear it a lot. In fact, you will not find anywhere in the scriptures barefoot in the kitchen. And don't misunderstand me. Barefoot in the kitchen, I know I'm getting something good, right? But that's between her and the Lord. In fact, I was going to read Proverbs 31. You know, it's good, ladies. I know that it's you know, a fearful thing to go back and read Proverbs 31. So I'm not asking you to. Guys, you need to go read Proverbs 31. And be honest with yourself if God has given you a virtuous wife. You see, a wife can be industrious. She can work. There's no prohibition against that. She can supplement the husband's work and at the same time keep the home in order. A woman builds the home. The wife builds the home. Your wife is also... Now, this may seem a little weird. Your sister in Christ. A joint heir. She has the same spiritual privileges and same spiritual importance as you do. So get over yourself. And the reality is this. Yes, we have the greater responsibility before God. But in eternal things, she is a co-equal and was meant to be a helper. And I resist it because I'm the guy that doesn't need help. I can do it all by myself. And there are times that I push her away when I probably should be inviting that help. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We all love Ephesians chapter 5. You know, when they wrote the Bible, when they wrote the scriptures, they didn't have verse breaks. There would be punctuation of paragraphs. They didn't have chapter and verse. A lot of people enter the wives submit to your husbands and husbands love your wives without starting at the verse right before it. 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. If our relationship does not begin there, there's going to be bumps. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be friction. You know, the idea of two becoming one, but there's also a three-strand cord. It's not easily broken. It's each of us seeking our fulfillment in Jesus Christ as we live together as husband and wife. I mean, the simple truths and principles of the Bible and marriage, and we've heard it a million, million times, haven't we? And it boils down to this. Are we willing to walk in obedience to what God clearly says the role of the wife and the role of the husband are? Guys, we're to give honor to our wives. And I'm grateful. And I know, and we know, and Beth will never, I'm not a proud, but God has given me a blessing for a wife, a great mother, one who built our home. Do we have our sparring and back and forth and things? Yeah, absolutely. But I recognize what God has given me, even though I might complain every once in a while. And you wives don't laugh because you do the same thing. I hear it, so. Right? We do that, but we're to give honor, but we're to submit to one another in the fear of God. Guys, we're to give preference to one another. One thing that's hard for us is dealing with our pride, right? We can fix everything. We can do everything. It's all about me. But it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Huh, well, there you go. Peter says it. Paul says it. As to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. It's okay. There's a purpose and a picture there, wives. As also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Guys, you are a picture in the marriage relationship of Christ in the relationship of that he has with his church. We are to love unconditionally, undeservedly. It doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. You are commanded to love, not complain. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, that's all of us. I talked about that. We are all subject. We are all walking to walk in obedience to Christ and his command. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. You know, that's not conditional. The woman, the wife's obedience to walk according to God's command and submission is not conditional upon what the husband is doing. Our love for our wives is not conditional upon whether the wife is submitting. You all understand that, right? Could you imagine if that was the deal of redemption for you and for me? Well, if you'd just be good. You know, there are some people that believe that salvation is that way. You have to do more good in a day than bad in a day in order to be on right, so that the ledger is in balance on your side, because that's what God requires of you. God requires nothing of you. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for you regardless. In fact, yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Consider that. That's how we're to love. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's a heavy burden to put on a relationship, isn't it? That we are a picture of Jesus and the church. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother, father and mother, and be joined to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And it's that simple. So let's stop playing the games. You know the games I'm talking about. Well, what if the game of the world? Irreconcilable differences. Well, guess what? When sin entered the picture and Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, irreconcilable differences became a fact. It's a norm. And the only way they can be reconciled is through Jesus Christ and what He has done for you and what He's done for me. There's no irreconcilable differences in the church. Sorry. We need to stop it and stay in our lanes. Wives, your husband needs help, and sometimes he needs to be rescued. That's what you're called to do. Do it in submission to Jesus Christ. Guys, honor your wives. Lift them up, encourage them. Love them regardless of whether or not you think they deserve it, because God says they deserve it. Stop. We need to stop playing games. And I'm not saying this out of a place of perfection. Just ask Beth. You can all corral her afterwards. But it's right. And understand what I have delivered to you, God has already delivered to me. This is a fearful thing. When God puts that much emphasis on your marriage, you wives walking in submission, you husbands loving because of what it is, not only a picture to one another, but what a picture, the picture that it is to the world. And stop playing games and start walking in obedience with the Lord and then one another. And if question, the what ifs, you're welcome to come and talk to me individually if those things are, or the what abouts, that's an individual thing. But none of them have anything to do with our roles as husband and wives and the order that God has ordained for the marriage. Amen? Heavenly Father, help us. Lord, you said that for the husband, if we're not walking in obedience to you, if we're not walking, Lord, and if we're out of order, if we are demanding or commanding anything of our wives that is not given to us as an authority, it can hamper our prayers. Lord, forgive us. We want you to hear our prayers. We want you to bless our families. We want you to bless our wives. We want you to watch over us and our friends. Lord, the church. And if there's anything in our lives that, Lord, stands between us and you, Lord, if there's anything in my life that stands between me and you, Lord, that has hampered prayer, Lord, I pray that you would remove it. I'm so grateful that by the blood of your Son, we have forgiveness of sins, cleansing. Lord, protect our marriages. Lord, those that are single, Lord, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, just give them that unction, Lord, to lift us up in prayer. Lord, we're the last wall, the gate, Lord, that the enemy wants to destroy so that he can take the hearts and minds of all of our society, Lord, our children, those who don't have understanding, Lord, of your word and your truth. We're the last defense. Your marriage, wife, husbands and wives. Lord, so help us to not give any more ground until you return, Lord, that we might be a picture of your love and your grace and your mercy to this fallen world. Lord, if there's anybody that's in a relationship with an unsaved man or woman, Lord, we pray that they would see Christ in you. Or that they would see Christ in them, that their spouse would see you in their lives, their actions, their words. Lord, that they would be one to you and become fellow heirs. Lord, speak through our lives, we pray. And help us, Lord, protect your church. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.